Support for this podcast comes from the UTSA Institute of Texan Cultures. For more than 50 years, the museum has told stories of Texas history and heritage from diverse cultures that define the state's unique character. Details at texancultures.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The coronavirus pandemic has people racing to stockpile groceries and other basic necessities, resulting in crowded aisles, long lines, product shortages, even some fisticuffs at stores across the country. But what's the situation in San Antonio? Is panic buying happening based on rumors or reality? On Sunday morning, Leticia Ramos was more than 100 people waiting in the light rain outside of HEB's Deco District location on the city's near west side.
I think it's ridiculous, especially the people that are hoarding, you know, getting things that they don't need to get. You know, 2 weeks? That's all you need to get, considering I'm just getting stuff because I have my grandkids an extra week on spring break.
We're joined by HEB this hour to talk about how the local dominant grocery chain is dealing with the surge in buying, the massive demand, cleaning out the shelves of toilet paper, hand sanitizer, other essential products. And we're joined by Dia Campos, the Director of Public and Governmental Affairs for HEB San Antonio. Also with us, we have the South Texas Food Bank. Michael Guetta is with us. He's the Chief Resource Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. Great to have you both here today. And you can call in and leave a voicemail. The number is 210-615-8982, 210-615-8982. Email us at thesource@tpr.org. And Adia, if you could tell us more about what is happening right now at HEB San Antonio.
Right now, as you can see, our partners in our stores and our partners in our warehouses are working around the clock to make sure that we are restocking our stores. We are dedicated on making sure that we're serving Texas during this time. Customers are coming into our stores feeling like they need to stock up on product. And this is really not a stock-up event. HEB is well-positioned long-term with product. We have been studying the coronavirus across the globe for months now, and it is something that we are prepared for. We benchmark with retailers around the globe and see what they're going through in buying patterns, and we're well-positioned to meet the needs of Texas.
Michael Guetta with the San Antonio Food Bank. What's your point of view? What's going on?
Well, you know, it was March 4th, seems like a long time ago in coronavirus history, that we launched what we thought was going to be a preemptive strike, if you would. We're working every day, as the community knows, in that daily disaster of poverty. But we knew that while businesses were looking at their business continuity plans, if you're a person who's just barely getting by and needing food for today, thinking about food down the road, being able to prepare with supplies and prepare with food was something we needed to do for the 300,000 plus individuals who live on the edge of poverty in San Antonio. So we launched a campaign to start to get an extra 15 million pounds of food and supplies out to those households who we knew at some point were going to struggle. And I think we're starting to see just the very beginnings of that, where low-income wage workers in our hospitality industry, you know, catering, conventions, those layoffs are meaning no paychecks. No paychecks are going to mean not money to spend at Dia with HEB, and so we're going to have to help them out, right? So it's a interesting time for sure.
So Dia, HEB, you're no stranger to disasters, pandemic. I mean, it's a new thing. Pandemic is a new thing. But people rushing in to buy stuff all at once, I mean, because hurricanes, that's something HEB deals with frequently.
That's right. And we're well prepared. While we're well prepared for hurricanes, this is definitely not a hurricane event. In a hurricane, you can see it coming, and it's a few weeks of hardship, and then we're back to good really fast. We have been studying how the coronavirus has impacted retailers across the globe, and we are fully prepared to serve Texas in a very difficult situation for the next 3 to 4 months. So unlike a hurricane, we have been planning long and we've been planning hard to be able to be prepared to keep product on the shelf. And we know that all the preparation and the continuous dialogue with retailers around the globe. We have learned from their mistakes. We've had some key learnings, and we're implementing those in our stores right now. As you see, we have product limits on a lot of our products across the store, and that is going to continue. We're going to continue to limit product because we know that it is a proven way to stabilize the supply chain during a time like this. That's why we shortened our store hours. We know that we're able to fully restock the store overnight, and also preparing and taking care of our partners, taking care of our overnight stockers, taking care of our warehouse partners. That's something that's really important to us, and those kind of changes are learnings from around the world.
Typically, when there's a hurricane or a weather event disaster, that's going to interrupt the water supply. That is not happening now. The coronavirus situation, the pandemic, will not interrupt the safe, clean drinking water that we're getting out of our taps from saws. But we still see people going to HEB and other stores, and they're buying lots and lots of water. Is that a hardship on HEB?
It absolutely is, and we know.
Explain
that,
why.
We know people are scared, and your automatic reaction is to go out and buy multiple cases of water. It's important for people to make the decision to maybe not buy water if you really don't need it, because that case of water takes up important space on our 18-wheeler trucks. And if we don't have to ship as much water out to stores, we're able to ship other items that people also need very much, like baby formula.
So you have to decide, we're going to restock all the water that people bought. I mean, we're not judging. People who want to buy water, okay? You can do that. But just know that it may not be a necessary purchase because there's not going to be an interruption to the water supply. And so, but then HEB does have to restock all those things just as well, because the next guy's might want to want water as well. And that does, it's an opportunity cost in putting out other things that other people actually do need.
Absolutely. Not only is our water supply system is safe, we also have ample supply of water. We are not going to run out of bottled water. And so it's not something that any family needs to be worried about that we're going to be out of. There is plenty of water. And so we encourage people to buy only what you need so we can quickly ship other items to stores that people may need.
Michael Guetta at the food bank, are your phones burning up? What are people calling in about?
They are. I think one thing is just where to get help. And are our behaviors changing in that? You know our business very well, David, and it's often a food pantry that's going to access our inventory, 500 plus agencies, most of them at churches around the community. And the majority of those have a volunteer that trends older, right? A volunteer that at this point might be at risk because of age or other health factors. So many of those agencies are starting to pull back on the hours that they're open. So folks in those communities are, where do we get help? Where can we go? So we've changed a couple of behaviors. One, an increase in our mobile distributions. That means that trucks are going out, they're finding a nice big parking lot, and then they're doing drive-throughs, right? So again, we're practicing really good behaviors when it comes to all the things the CDC is encouraging us, social distancing, staying clean, and literally being able to do a no-contact distribution that's mobile. Someone comes up, they're verified, they drive their car through. We can fill them with perishable and non-perishable items, stock them up for a couple of weeks. So it's been a plus in that mobile area, but there's still a lot to go.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We have the latest information about what's happening at HEB and the food bank. If you've got a question, call in, leave a voicemail, 210-615-8982, 210-615-8982. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking to HEB and the Food Bank this afternoon. Our phone line is 210-615-8982, and you can leave a message, so we'll get that on the air if your questions and comments. How is HEB dealing with the panic buying in San Antonio? How is the Food Bank dealing with the growing need that we're having? Our economy is being weakened. We will see layoffs in San Antonio. Antonio in some industries. The also schools closing down, and the food bank is part of the operations to help kids who depend on schools to get a hot lunch every day. There's a lot going on in San Antonio, and we want to bring you the latest correct information. And you can call in with your comments and questions, 210-615-8982. And let's get that voicemail on the air from Scott.
Yes, my name is Scott Smith, and I just want to say that something needs to be said more about the HEB employees that are at the store, stocking the shelves, doing whatever they have to do when they're being just as much exposed to the corona environment that the rest of us are. But I don't think enough is being said about the people that are feeding our city. So just that's my point. Thank you.
All right. Dia Campos is with us, Director of Public and Government Affairs for HEB San Antonio. How are you keeping your employees safe? What are you telling them?
Yeah, you know, our employees are heroic in a sense. They are so passionate about helping Texas through difficult times. And we are equipping our employees on a daily basis with the best information to take care of them and their families. Inside the store, we have dramatically increased the frequency of sanitation, both not just in the box, but also for our partners are sanitizing their hands very frequently after every transaction. We're making sure that they're rested, that they're fed, that they are also be able to take care of their own families during this time.
And I understand you have a problem with employees. You don't have enough of them.
That's right. We are hiring, without a doubt. You can go to the HEB.com careers page, and we are hiring. HEB is ready to serve Texas, and I'll clear this up right away. We've had a lot of social media comments, people asking us if we're going to close. HEB will not close. We are an adaptable company. We will adapt our business however we need to in order to serve Texas. If there is any kind of government regulation or ordinances around the perception of lockouts, that does not apply to grocery stores. Sure, does not apply to food banks. We are here to serve and will adapt our business in any way we need to do that.
I've been out in the field during hurricanes, and people are scrambling and doing stuff, and HEB pulls up in a big trailer. And I heard one person tell another person while at a disaster area, HEB is the FEMA of Texas.
Wow. That's
in the good
praise.
Way.
Yeah. You know, but they're there to, you know, and how is, you know, the food bank, Michael? Miguel.
You know, I think what's different in our business these days, a lot of inquiry also about volunteers and what safety precautions we are doing for volunteers. Our business depends heavily on volunteers to help us bend the cost curve. We've had traditionally 1,000 volunteers a week that have helped us to make sure that those facing their season of need are taken care of. So many, many corporate groups are saying, we're not going to volunteer. We can't send our folks out to volunteer, and which has left us a bit lower. But we've put in a lot of precautions. So for the first time ever, you come into the San Antonio Food Bank, you're getting an infrared temp check, right? Are you making sure you're in the right spectrum from body temperature? They're wearing hand gloves for the first time. You're doing hand sanitation before you use our kiosk to check in. Like Dia was saying for HEB, we're doing 4 times a day extra deep cleaning across all parts of our business. And so we want to make sure that, one, people know we're open for volunteerism. In fact, we need it perhaps now more than ever as we ramp up services. But we're going the extra mile to make sure that that's a safe experience. That's the same at the food bank as it is for our kitchen at Haven for Hope, where we're serving the homeless, who are also a population greatly at risk. But we want to make sure those volunteers in that kitchen are equally safe.
Got another voicemail. Let's get it on the air.
One of our local merchants lied to you earlier this week, and I thought you should know about that. This would be HEB who gave information saying they've got plenty of sanitizer, which is a lie. I know, because I keep trying to buy it from my local store, and they don't have it. And as I said, you've been repeating the lie from HEB several times a day for several days now, and I can tell you personally that I can't get it from my store. I'm a senior handicapped citizen. Get my groceries delivered, paid for, of course. I pay for them from my local HEB store, and they can't be bothered to save me just one little bottle of Purell. And they say, oh, well, we don't ever have enough. We get a box, and it's gone. And, of course, the old lady doesn't matter. But as I said, HEB told you they have plenty. They were lying, and you've been repeating that lie. So I thought you should know it, and you should hold your feet to the fire.
Okay, so we can hear the level of frustration in that individual. They're not able to get all the products that they want, hand sanitizer in big demand.
And we get it. We feel it. Hand sanitizer is on extremely short supply nationwide, globally, hand sanitizer. So we know that we have plenty of product that customers need. Hand sanitizer is in very short supply. The good news is that it is very effective to slow the spread of coronavirus by using soap and water. Washing your hands for 20 seconds with soap and water is just as effective as using hand sanitizer. So I ask our customers to bear with us, be adaptable with us, and find ways as a community where we can all help slow the spread of the coronavirus in Texas.
Yeah, I think I'll just add from our side, we get those same requests, right? Where's the hand sanitizer? We're getting your food box. You said you're going to put out extra cleaning supplies. And starting today, every order that's going out, every person that's being served is getting a personal use hand soap, right? It's not going to be sanitizer, but it's exactly as Dia said, good bar of soap, use it correctly, and it's going to do a very good job for you.
Now, we have some questions about people wanting like hours specifically for seniors. They think that, you know, they're not able to deal with the big crowds, maybe, and we're not supposed to have too many people gathered at once. And some stores have announced that they're doing hours for seniors. What's HEB's take on that?
Right. We, the HEB leadership team literally spent a good portion of the day yesterday discussing this option, this idea. And for a really long, long time, I mean, serving the senior population and the disabled population and those at risk is really, really important to us. Based on the recommendations from the CDC and health officials, you know, we hear loud and clear the warning that people should not be congregating, particularly people at risk populations. And we feel that opening for an hour just for a specific population may not be the safest thing to do at this time. We are focused on finding more innovative ways to get customers the products they need, particularly customers with disabilities and the senior population. We're also working closely with the food bank to get product to those who cannot visit the store. We're expanding our capabilities around curbside and grocery delivery and intend to develop more innovative ways to get products that customers need while promoting social distancing and not promoting a certain group of people to congregate at a store together. We think that at this time, that's not the safest option.
And the seniors' needs, how is the food bank adapting to that?
It's, yeah, a very, very important group and a group very much at risk. And so we've been focused on it, as Dia was mentioning. I think the first way that we're doing that is we have our call line, 210-431-8326. That's the place to go to either our website or that number to find out where can you get help in your neighborhood. I think that allows us to do a level of intake and conversation with a senior to understand what other needs they might have, and also to understand, do they have mobility issues, right? Are they going to be homebound? Do we need a homebound effort for them, or can they get to a mobile site? So we've doubled down on getting extra food and supplies to the senior centers that are allowing us to get food boxes there. So those activity centers are getting extra deliveries of food and supplies. Those are normal City of San Antonio senior centers. And then for the 10,000 seniors that we're doing a senior box to every month, same thing, extra soap, extra supplies, extra food, and then for our homebound seniors as well. So just it really is just trying to do more for those who we can reach.
And it seemed like we also should be doing more. Neighbors, family members who are seniors, reach out to them and see what you can do to help them out.
Yeah, be a good neighbor. Find out who in your neighborhood needs help. You know, these great neighborhood apps that everybody's using these days, I think it's a wonderful way to check in and find out who in the neighborhood needs help and to be that good neighbor for them.
So I want to talk about the sale by date on products. You know, when you have some stuff in your store, in your house, you know, your normal stockpile, your normal that you have, and maybe the sale by date is coming up close, and we need to remind people that that doesn't mean that product is expired. You know, you don't need to not use it. So, and I'm sure you know this stuff very well, Michael. Tell us about, what do people need to know about that?
Well, I'm almost let HEB comment in that first, but, you know, definitely. I mean, you might start to see some nutrient degradation in a non-perishable item, right? Perhaps some taste degradation, but the health of that item often is in a non-perishable canned good, months past the sell-by date on that, right? And so it's something that our volunteers work every day on as we get donated food, looking at those dates and, you know, allowing the extension of 6 months to a year to 2 years, depending on what the specific product is, a cereal, a canned good, a canned fruit, lots of items that can go past that sell-by date.
So people can probably be exercise a little judgment in that area, Dia? Any observations?
Yeah, I think the only thing we would add, you know, we don't want to be prescriptive around, you know, sell-by dates and how many days
People think that's an expiration date.
It is not an expiration date. I would say use your best judgment. If it's a perishable product, you can tell if something has gone bad.
Oh, yeah, it'll tell you.
Right.
So, but most products, if it's a box of cereal, if it's a can of soup, as long as the can is not dented, it's not showing any sign of rust or any other kind of degradation, it's probably pretty good. So those are the things that you don't have to worry about. The toilet paper situation. Okay, this is the big elephant in the room. Okay. Dia, what's up with the toilet paper?
Yeah, some stores are well-stocked in toilet paper. We are stocking every store with toilet paper every day. We have toilet paper. Keeping it on the shelf has been a bit of an issue, but that's because of the panic buying. I would say the same thing about toilet paper that I would probably about water. Toilet paper takes up a lot of room in a truck. We're running 1,300, 1,400 trucks down the highways a day, and we can only get so much product on that. So if you don't need it, absolutely. Then just wait for your next shopping trip and let your neighbor get some. But there is plenty of toilet paper in the supply chain. It's all about just keeping the shelf stocked and calming down the panic buying.
Right. I understand people are in a state. Their sense of scarcity may be driving this idea that you don't want to be without. They know that they may be stuck at home for 2 weeks, but, you know, we got to wonder. And you toilet paper cannot be turned into a face mask. I saw that online. You turn toilet paper into face mask. That does not work. You know, it is what it is, and that's what it is. How much do you actually need? And as you buy, you're disrupting the system. And Michael, do y'all have products like that? Y'all give it out in the food bank?
We have toilet paper, paper towels, diapers. So we deal in food and non-food items. You bet. And it's requested, but we don't have it in stock. It's something that goes out very quickly. So that kind of product, we're not going to have today at all.
So I'm sure a lot of stuff's going out the door. Are you still getting stuff coming in?
It's a different level of what's coming in, right? You know, as Dio was mentioning, the national supply chain, the global supply chain is having a challenge. You know, the farmers are still growing fruits and vegetables. You know, those are flowing fairly well. The highly sought after items you can't find. But of the staples, you know, what we would call our 12 most wanted, they're available. I mean, you can have a good meal. You can live very, very well on so much of the product that is still available. What we're not seeing would be a normal food drive, right? So we're not encouraging people at this time at all to do a product drive for us. If they want to support us, we'll take a volunteer hour if they feel that they can do that with their right health and the environment. But definitely the dollar, because that dollar allows us then to be able to pay for some donated goods and just pay for the freight side of it, not to have to pay for the donated item. So we don't want a food drive, but we would love a fun drive.
All right, we're taking a break, and our voicemail line is still active. You can give it a call, 210-615-8982. We've got some lined up. We'll get them on the air when we come back from this break. You can also email us with your questions and comments at thesource@tpr.org. We're joined by HEB and the San Antonio Food Bank. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Support for this podcast comes from Sunshine Cottage's Noche del Sol, a fiesta kickoff event with Mexican food, entertainment, and Delaritas, plus a raffle and auctions to benefit the School for Deaf Children, March 26th, 6 p.m. More at sunshinecottage.org.
Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking to HEB and the San Antonio Food Bank about what's happening due to the coronavirus pandemic. We have a voicemail. Let's go.
Hi, I'm a caregiver, and two of the clients that I have right now have multiple friends. And what worries me is with everybody freaking out is that these elderly people aren't able to get to the store as fast and aren't able to even carry the stuff that they need. So I'm volunteering to take that stuff in. Do I have to, like, show any type of verification that I'm buying this stuff for somebody else, or, like, what would be the rules on that?
All right. Dia Campos is the Director of Public and Governmental Affairs for HEB San Antonio.
It depends how that happens. I mean, if you're shopping at the, you know, on behalf of somebody else and you have a method of payment, and that is perfectly fine with us. If however you're paying for it, if the question is more about you're shopping on behalf of a customer who might be on an EBT type of program, then that there's some
that's a food stamp card,
the SNAP program.
Yeah.
SNAP and TANF and the government programs, then that requires a PIN. And that PIN can only be used by the person who the card is assigned to.
Mm. And even a family member couldn't be able to do that?
You know, it depends on the situation. But as a retailer, the federal government requires that PIN to be used by the person who the card is assigned to.
Michael Guetta with the San Antonio Food Bank. In disasters, we've seen rules relaxed on food stamps or the cards. What do you think is going to happen here?
Yeah, I think we're going to have some good news. Our federal government's been working hard. Dia's team up on the Hill, our team, a lot of folks very focused on that, and I think we're getting good momentum. It's going to take that. I mean, for the folks who need the help, the nonprofit sector, food banks like us, will be able to do a part, but not the level that our federal government can help us with. So we hope some relaxing of SNAP enrollment, some of the things that they do turn during a time of disaster, we'll be seeing that in the next 24 hours.
Now the voicemail, let's give it a listen.
Hi, does HEB still have a home delivery option available in this type of situations? And if yes, you know, do they have a, you know, delivery of hand sanitizer and toilet paper at home available?
And Dia Campos.
We do. We are encouraging customers to utilize our curbside business and our delivery option. People can go on our website on heb.com, set up an account. The website will let you know that certain items are limited. We are going to fill customers' baskets as best as we can. And we are also building in more time slots. I know that time slots are difficult right now. You have to plan a few days out. But we are opening up more time slots. We're building more capacity on curbside delivery. And curbside right now is free for customers. There is no additional fee to use curbside. There's not the curbside fee. And we are encouraging customers to do that. We're building more capacity around it. Also with Favor delivery, being able to use the Favor delivery app to get delivery from restaurants and also get delivery from HEB stores, that is another option. And we are developing even more resources that we will roll out soon for the utilization of folks that are homebound or should not be out going to the grocery store. We will be developing more innovative solutions to getting people the products that they need.
So right now, if I went on HEB and tried to do a curbside pickup of the grocery needs, it will be 3, 4, 5 days before I'm able to get what I want.
Depending on which store is your store. So the way that the website is set up, you select the store that you want to go and shop for curbside. Depending on the store, the availability times are different. And we are rolling out more availability on a daily basis. Our team is working hard to be able to expand this option. So it is an option for all Texans.
And Michael Guetta at the food bank, you guys are doing curbside product delivery is also.
We are both at the food bank and across the community. I think most of us know where our closest HEB is. We go there all the time. You might not know because it's a unique season where the closest site is where you can get food from the food bank. Again, that's check our website, talk to one of our service navigators to find that out, because it is changing now. Even the food pantry someone might have gone to 2 weeks ago might not be open now or in the next 2 weeks. They're going to want to find out, where's the mobile strategy? Where's the mobile food bank, if you would, as opposed to our brick and mortar efforts with food pantries. So checking that website, finding out where to go, just like you know where your HEB is. You might not know where these days, though, to get help from the food bank.
All right, another voicemail.
Hi, my name is Michael, and one of the things that I see that some people may be concerned about is not the possibility of the stores running out of supply. It's that while at the store, they may be exposed to someone that has COVID-19 and doesn't know they have it, etc. This may especially be the case with people who fall into the high-risk category, and they may be wanting to stock up for simply the reason that they then don't have to return to the store as soon or as frequently, or when it's possible that outbreak is current or present in their area or it's peaking.
So people are thinking, I don't want to go to the store very often. I want to limit my exposure to individuals. Actually, Mayor Nuremberg is expected today to issue a new emergency order prohibiting public and private gatherings of more than 50 people. So as HEB, as you're limiting people going into the stores, you know, with your hours, and I see how people are, is that also to limit the overcrowding of the store?
You know, so grocery stores are treated a little differently.
It's still a concern.
It is a concern. It's a major concern for us. You will see HEB roll out a lot of social distancing tactics in our stores. We're going to be actively encouraging customers to give each other some space when you're in the stores. We have in some stores in our Houston area have limited the number of customers who can be in a store at one time. We are also across the company putting up check stand partitions that our customers will start seeing in San Antonio, likely today and tomorrow, where there will be a plexiglass barrier buffer between the cashier and our customers. So you will see HEB continue to enforce some social distancing activities.
And HEB, I see that there's a big thing of hand sanitizer at the checkout line. That's available for customers, and everybody's making good use of it. There's deep cleaning going on at the store continuously. There are handy wipes available to wipe down the shopping cart that you use. All these things people should be making good use of to protect themselves. Let's go to another voicemail.
Yes, this is regarding the interview with HEB. Ever since they cut the hours back and said that they were doing it for restocking, I've gone the both days in the early morning when the store opens and the shelves are empty. There's not even a promise that there's a truck on the way. And this has been like two nights where they've had overnight time to, like they say, restock.
Okay. Are you sometimes not able to restock because of the supply chain interruption?
It depends what products customers are looking for. We are completely restocking stores on food items, a lot of the items you're looking for, toilet paper. But if customers are continuously coming in the mornings looking for hand sanitizer, it's highly likely that you're not going to find certain items that are out of stock nationwide. But every night, there are trucks that get deployed to stores, and we completely restock the shelves with items like toilet paper, important food items like milk and eggs and formula and items that our customers really need. But there are certain items that we will have some perpetual out of stocks on.
Right. I do have a Twitter question. I have a three-month-old with specific baby formula needs. People are panic buying formula. Lucky I'm in a position where so far I have enough to avoid a gap, but I know some parents won't be able to do the same. It's tempting to panic buy because of this, but it's hurting individuals when you panic buy all the baby formula. The next person behind you, they need that. And what can be done to help those folks?
You know, I really encourage, and I know that Texas is in a better position than any other state in the nation to keep a product on shelf, to protect our supply chain. We have been working daily with our governor's office and our local elected officials to make sure that we're putting things in place to protect the Texas food supply chain and product supply chain. Our biggest recommendation to customers would be to really think about this idea of panic buying. We need a long-term strategy here. We're going to be in this together as a community for the next few months. So panic buying now is not going to have any positive impact on our community next week or even next month. So we really need a communal effort and mindset that we're going to be in this together for the next couple of months.
How's the food bank set for things like baby formula?
Minimal. You know, I think we get it in and it goes out just as fast. I mean, it's a high need, high want item, and rarely donated. So I think we don't keep it on our shelves very long at all.
And well, where can people turn to if I know there's the diaper bank. You work closely with them. I mean, how where can people go? I mean, if I talk to the manager at HEB, say I have an item that I really, really need like that. Can I talk to someone at the HEB and can they figure that? Can they help me out, Dee?
They can. And our partners are excited to help out. And we can, you know, we are getting items like baby formula, but we have also put limits on a lot of items. And this is why.
Right.
Our limits are very important. And we know that some customers might be annoyed by them, but we have seen and learned from other retailers that this is the way to go. Customers should feel free to talk to our partners in our stores. They are well equipped with knowledge and information about products and product availability.
Right. So we're going to take a break right now. When we come back, I need to talk to you about the pharmacy at HEB because those guys are putting in a lot of hours as well. And we can have gaps in providing those services. And also we continue answering your questions and they're coming in. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. With us in the studio, we've got HEB and the San Antonio Food Bank. We're answering your questions. The pharmacy at HEB, a busy place on the best days, but I'm sure right now, Dia Campos, that you guys are really putting in some extra hours dealing with high needs. People want to get several weeks or even longer supply of their needed pharmaceuticals. So what can you do for them?
Yeah, that's right. Our HEB pharmacists are, well-equipped, ready to go, ready to answer questions, and also ready to fill your prescriptions. We are also in a good in-stock position in pharmacy. And our pharmacies, for the most part, keep our store hours. That might be altered on the weekend, so 8 to 8. And you can check our website for details on that. And our pharmacists are also great resources. They're great health resources in the communities that we serve. So customers should feel free to reach out to your local pharmacist if you have any questions or concerns. We're also encouraging customers to use the drive-thru. The vast majority of our pharmacies have a drive-thru capability. And that's an added precaution. If you don't want to go into the store, feel free to drive through.
So what about calling ahead, or can I do stuff via email or some sort of app or whatever with the pharmacy to streamline our contacts?
Right.
Because I don't want to hang out there because there are a lot of sick people in the pharmacy.
Exactly. I would encourage people to use the HEB pharmacy app, where you can download the app and arrange for your prescription to be either picked up or to be delivered. Right now, we are delivering free to our customers, and that information is also on our pharmacy website if you're interested in free delivery for your medications.
All right, I'm going to go to another voicemail.
Hello, yes. This is an HEB customer, and one of my personal observations has been that there begin to be people on getting gasoline for their vehicles. They're also using plastic containers to store a couple of gallons of gasoline. And I think this should be stopped because you're also depriving the next person who might need it. I personally fill up my gas tank only for pharmacy, doctors, or emergencies, not for leisure driving around in Hondo. So please let HEB people know that they need to also control, because it will take time for the delivery truck to bring in the gasoline. So that's another logistic they need to plan.
I haven't seen any signs that we have another gas panic happening. You know, is that happening again?
We do not. And there's no reason for it, especially if we're all told to stay home. This is something that we have been watching very closely, and we have not seen any kind of activity around gasoline. We really don't expect one. There shouldn't be one, but there also should not be a run for people to be buying things like water and toilet paper. But we have not seen any activity around increased demand in gas.
Buying gasoline and putting it in plastic containers is an unsafe practice and should not be done by anyone. I don't care what the circumstances are. You are asking for a fire or something even worse. It's something, and there is no shortage of gasoline. You can look at the price right now and say there's plenty available. And so let's not get into a gas panic. And let's go to another voicemail.
Hello, this is a question for the HEB people on NPR. Well, I was wondering what their reasoning is for not allowing workers to wear masks and gloves, especially the cashiers who are handling money and have customers close contact with them. Sometimes they'll cough in their face, I've seen as I'm going through the line. So I'm just wondering what they're doing to protect their workers from this, especially the workers that are elderly and immunosuppressed. Thank you.
All right, Dia Campos.
Sure. We are in constant contact with health officials that are advising us, and with the CDC that are advising us on these types of practices. We have determined that wearing gloves creates a false sense of security when it comes to making sure that your hands are sanitized. We encourage our partners to sanitize their hands frequently, to wash them with soap for 20 seconds as frequently as possible. And around the gloves conversation is if you're a cashier and you're using gloves and you might touch your face, it just creates this false sense of security when sanitizing your hands at a frequent rate is more effective.
And I know people are frustrated when they go to HEB. They can't find the products that they want, or the lines are long and it's been a hard, difficult day. The person to take that out on is not the HEB employee. Sometimes they do have to take the brunt of some people who are on a short fuse and a hair trigger. But come on, these people are here to help you, right?
Exactly. And we really have not seen a lot of that. I mean, you know, this is Texas. We're very Texan about it. And we have seen far more examples of customers being extremely kind to our partners. And we're very grateful for that. Over the weekend, we had a customer, I believe it was in the shirt store, that ordered and paid for some mariachis to come and serenade our front-end cashiers. And that was something super special for us. We're seeing a lot more acts of kindness than we are otherwise.
Got another voicemail.
Yes, I'm calling the HEB. My name is Mary Lou. I'm calling concerned, and I don't have enough food for my children. My children and my little kids, and I don't have the money to buy right now the dry food, and I don't have the kitty litter. And then I know HEB don't give you credit, but I don't know exactly who to call. HEB be able to call me and let me know who to call about. Because nobody think about the children and my little kiddies. Nobody think about them. And I have no food, no dry food.
If that doesn't break your heart, I don't know what will. So we have Michael Guetta with us with the San Antonio Food Bank.
That's why we're here. And HEB would say, hey, call the San Antonio Food Bank, and we are great partners. And they stock us every day. They're awesome, awesome friends. So one thing I would say is 210-431-8326.
Say that slower.
210-431-8326. That will get you to a service navigator, someone who will listen to you, a bilingual navigators. They will help you find that food in the closest proximity to you. It might be at a mobile distribution, one of our pantries that open, the San Antonio Food Bank itself. And they also can help you as things change, and it's changing day by day. We were talking about this earlier on the show, for SNAP benefits, things like that, is those chains, those navigators will be able to help you understand how you can get those dollars that you can then take to HEB and spend them on your SNAP benefit.
And I'd like to mention that yesterday, HEB made a $1.2 million gift to food banks across the state of Texas. And that includes benefits right here in San Antonio and across the whole state. We're doing our part to make sure that those in need are getting the food that they need. And we are committed to doing that and seeing all Texans through this time.
So kids being out of school is going to create more needs in our households. And we're hearing that it's possible that the school year is over. You know, they could be in, this is it. And so this is going to put a huge stressor on a lot of families. We have to think this is not a one and done sort of an event. How is HEB looking at moving forward? What's going on here? Because usually the disasters come and go.
Right. As I said, we're prepared for long term, 3 and 4 months. In an ideal situation, the panic buying will decrease. We will settle in as a community. And
only have so much toilet paper in my house.
Exactly. And we know that parents are nervous about the thought that their kids may not return to school. That would make any parent anxious. This is going to be a several-month process that we need to be a part of together. And if the panic buying settles down, we will be extremely successful in Texas, more so than anybody else, to accomplish this.
And the food bank, what are you looking at long-term? Because you guys are going to be leaned on very heavily because we're seeing the economy weaken, people losing their jobs. What are your most needed items at the food bank?
Let me say two things. One, about schools being out. It'll start to look like our response in summer. You know well, and we've talked about it every summer for a number of years, our highest time of need is in the summer when kids are out of school. 200,000 children are receiving a national school lunch, school breakfast right now, right? And those are going to be the kids we worry about the most. And so right now, school districts for this week, they're looking at some of their own work. But if this does go extended, we're going to start to turn it into our own summer response, wrapping up meals from our kitchens to the tens of thousands. In fact, we're getting a new kitchen online. They'll be able to do 50,000 meals a day. So it's going to be a combination of meals, extra food distributions for kids. It'll start to look more like our summer response than it is just a spring break response or something like that. So the most wanted items we need is actually the dollar. So we're trying not at all to drive someone to donate product because of the stressors it could put on the supply chain. Rather, the dollar that provides 10 pounds of food because it's going to help us with freight and other expenses when people are donating food to us from across the country. It's what HEB did to us in that great gift that Dia just mentioned. They gave us money for food and for freight, and it's immediately, like literally today, we were able to bring in more food because of that gift from HEB. So huge contribution, and we're seeing other companies starting to do the same. They're sending us maybe their employees to help volunteer. That's been a nice plus, but then also the dollars are going a long way.
How long do you think these store hours will be limited, Dia?
It's difficult to say. You know, we are a very adaptable organization. We were able to change very fast. And if we see the supply chain stabilizing and the panic buying decreasing, then we can easily return to normal store hours when that's needed. And services will return to our stores. Customers will see right now that our bakeries might be closed. Bakery, floral, deli.
Yeah, because you move people around to take care of the most essential items.
Exactly.
Your guys in your offices are working in the aisles.
That's right. Everybody is out helping stores right now. We're in this together.
All right. Dia Campos, Director of Public and Governmental Affairs at HEB San Antonio. Michael Guetta, Chief Resource Officer for the San Antonio Food Bank. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Kim Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia. Dan Katz is TPR's news director. Support for The Source comes from contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.